ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are diving ever deeper into that sweet nectarian ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam. Today, 10th canto, chapter 18. We'll be chanting text number 8 and also including 9 and 10 because of no purports for 8 and 9. Kridishyamana. Tat Krishna Bhagavan Bala Samyita Venu Viranayam Gopai Godhanai Samsrita Avishat. Kridishyamanastat Krishna Bhagavan Bala Samyuta Venum Viranayam Gopair Bodhanai Samvrito Vishat Kridishyamanastat Krishna Bhagavan Bala Samyuta Venum Viranayam Gopair Bodhanai Samvrito Vishat Kridishyamanastat Krishna Bhagavan Bala Samyuta Venum Viranayam Gopair Bodhanai Samvrito Vishat Kridishyamana, intending to play,
tat,
that, Vrindavan forest, Krishna, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balasamyuta, accompanied by Balaram, Venum, his flute, Viranayam, sounding, Gopai, by the cowherd boys, Bodhanai, and the cows, who are their wealth. Samritaha, surrounded. Avishat, he entered. Translation. Intending to engage in pastimes, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accompanied by Lord Balaram and surrounded by the cowherd boys and cows, entered the forest of Vrindavan as he played his flute. Text number 9. Pravala Bara Stabako Shraddhatu Kritabhushana Ramakrishna Deo Gopa Nanritur Yudayar Jagu. Decorating themselves with newly grown leaves, along with peacock feathers, garlands, clusters of flower buds, and colored minerals, Balaram, Krishna, and their cowherd friends danced, wrestled, and sang. Krishnasya Nityata Kechij Jagu Kechid Avadiyam Venu Pani Talai Shringai Prashashamshur Atapure. As Krishna danced, some of the boys accompanied him by singing and others by playing flutes, hand cymbals, and buffalo horns, while still others praised his dancing. Purport. Wanting to encourage Sri Krishna, some of the cowherd boys openly praised his dancing. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So, by the mercy of his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Asta Tarasadashi Shiman A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to hear about, glorify, remember, and ultimately enter into these pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, we are residents of the spiritual world originally. But due to a foolish misuse of our independence, we have come to this world to try to have our own pastimes. Instead of serving the pastimes of the Lord, we wanted to have our own pastimes here. Let me try. You see. So now we've been making this futile attempt through 8,400,000 species of life, trying to be God here in so many different ways, and we have failed miserably at that. So, this wonderful Bhagavatam, the beautiful Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the wonderful doorway, dvara, through which we can actually regain our original. It is called an introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, I mean to say, Swarup. We have our original spiritual identity as servants of Krishna. We are not actually products of this material nature, although the scientists want us to believe that. That we are simply products of the material nature and that's it. Don't even dream of anything beyond matter. That's what they want us to believe. But it's not a very intelligent proposition. They say that from some impersonal energy, it's all coming out. But it's not really very logical, if you think about it. Just like if I told you I have, if every day, for example, I brought you 1 kilo of pure gold, you see, every day, that would make your day. After a while, you go, wow, it's amazing. It's a lot of gold. We can get enough gold, we can buy out all the politicians. Make the whole world Krishna conscious by purchasing all the politicians. So, then one day you say, well, where are you getting this gold? Well, I have a gold mine. Well, how much gold do you have in that gold mine? No, there's no gold in the gold mine. Oh, you're trying to hide something. No, there must be, from the gold mine, so much gold is coming out, then there must be gold in that gold mine. So, if from the original source, the scientists are saying there's some, you know, origin of the universe. The theists and the atheists all agree there's an origin for the universe. If from that origin, so many persons are coming out, then that origin must possess personality. So why are we calling it? If I called you it, would you like it? How is it doing today? You might tolerate it for a while, but after a while, if I kept saying, how's it doing today? You would get a little disturbed after a while, because you're a person. A person don't like to be called it, or impersons. So, that original source, although philosophically we can talk about it, but when we really get down to wanting to approach that origin, then we have to understand that it possesses personality. And therefore we have the conception of the Supreme Person as the origin of everything. There has to be. Otherwise all persons can come out. There has to be a person there behind the whole thing. So many people say, well, I'm doing a lot of correspondence work. I have this self-realization course on the internet with people all over the world signed up, and we get so many types of inquiries from people. A very common inquiry is, why does God have to do anything? You see, why does he have to have any qualities? Why does he have to have a name? It's the impersonal philosophy. You know, they argue that you're limiting God by giving him a name, by giving him qualities, by giving him activities. You're just imagining these things because you have them, and you're projecting them onto God because of your own limited mentality onto the Lord, because this is their argument. But actually that's not true. It's the fact that God is Atmaram, the Supreme Person, is self-enjoyer. He doesn't need anything. They will say, well, you know, Vrindavan is limiting because God doesn't need anything. So you're limiting him by Vrindavan, cowherd boys, cowherd girls. That's a limitation. But the fact is that if God is indeed Atmaram, self-enjoyer, which he is, and he's all-powerful, which he is by definition, otherwise how he can be God? Since he's all-powerful and he's supreme enjoyer also, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, he enjoys unlimitedly. Therefore, he can do whatever he likes for his enjoyment. If he wanted to just to be all alone, he could be all alone. That's his prerogative. He can do whatever he wants. But that Supreme Person, he enjoys company. That's a fact. And there's also a Chanakya aphorism like that. A household life without children is a desert. You see, they want some little children running around the house. It brings life. So that is there. Everyone likes company. You see. So that quality is originally there in God. That's why we have that quality also. We have the quality of enjoying association because God has that quality. You can understand the nature of the pot of rice by understanding one piece of the rice. You see. Or one drop of ocean water will give you an idea of what is the qualities of that ocean. So, that quality is there in God, the Supreme Person. He likes to enjoy company. Therefore, from himself, he expands Srimati Radharani. He expands all the Vishnu Tattva incarnations, Balaram, Sankarshan, Pajumna, Aniruddha, etc., etc. He expands from himself millions and billions, actually an infinitude of jivas. He expands from himself for what purpose? To expand his enjoyment. That's all. Krishna, when he enjoys, he doesn't mess around. He wants to enjoy big time. So he expands from himself an unlimited number of jivas for the purpose of enjoying rasa, or loving relationship, with each and every one of them. Actually, no two jivas are exactly the same. Just like snowflakes. Is it snow here in Melbourne? In Texas, where I live, it also doesn't snow. But we have heard that there's no two snowflakes that are exactly alike. You can put it under a microscope and you'll see every single snowflake is unique. So in the same way, Krishna is expanding from himself an infinitude of jivas who are each and every one of them unique, so that he can have a unique rasa, a relationship with each and every one of them. You can't substitute one for the other. Every jiva is unique, and Krishna wants to have a specific type of loving relationship with that specific jiva. So, if we don't love Krishna, what are we doing? We're cheating him. He's manifesting us to enjoy a particular loving relationship that only we can give him. Because we're the only one who are us, you see. So if we don't love Krishna, then we're not, you know, we're a fish out of the water. We're not giving him what he wants from us. And we're doing nothing but cheating ourselves also. You could have a loving relationship, an intimate, personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what are you doing? You're foolishly trying to imitate him. This is our madness. So, there's nothing more sweet, there's nothing more wonderful, there's nothing more sublime, enlivening, inspiring, exhilarating than reviving that dormant relationship with God, Krishna. So that is the sum and substance of, what is the name of that movement? The Hare Krishna movement? Yeah. That very nice movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That revolutionary movement, which is attracting the living entities to come back to their original relationship with God. So why do, then one may ask, well, alright, so why is Krishna manifesting these pastimes that we're reading about here? Entering the forest of Vrindavan, playing his flute. Well, actually Krishna has multi-purposes for everything that he does. Any one activity that Krishna does can have thousands and millions of purposes all being fulfilled simultaneously. But one purpose is, he wants to attract us. He's trying to lure us back. I remember one time I was walking through the Houston airport in Texas there. And off in the distance I heard some ukuleles were going, you know, da 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 da. I looked over there in the distance, there was some Hawaiian girls in grass skirts doing the hula dance. And I thought, what's going on here in Houston Airport? And I looked, oh, it was Hawaiian Airlines. And they had a little cultural display there to attract people to line up to buy their tickets to Honolulu. So Krishna is like that, you see. He flies in the ukulele girls, ukulele guys, and the hula hula girls, you know, the cowherd boys, he flies everybody in from Goloka Vrindavan to put on this big cultural display in Vrindavan to show us, hey, there's pretty wonderful things which go on in Goloka Vrindavan. Here's a little sample, you see. Come back home and enjoy. Fly in the friendly skies of Krishna Bhakti. You see. Spiritual master is the captain of the airplane. Srila Prabhupada is the captain of that airplane, flying us back to Goloka Vrindavan. So these pastimes are very, very wonderful. The more we can relish these pastimes, the more that we're actually qualifying ourselves to enter into them. Because we've forgotten that we actually have an identity. We're a cowherd boy, we're a cowherd girl, we're a flute, we're a butterfly. We all have some identity there. We don't want to try to guess it. That's sahajya. That will spoil it. There are the bogus so-called gurus that'll do that. They'll say, oh, actually in Vrindavan this is what you are. You know, you're such and such gopi and this is your pastime. We were shocked to meet one young American woman when we were traveling and preaching in North America. She was really into Lord Nityananda. She was into, you know, some kind of a Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but it turned out to be very sahaja Gaudiya Vaishnavism. She met some sadhu at Radhakunda who told her what her rasa was in Krishna's pastime as a gopi. So she was meditating on that, and then she was also had some boyfriend, another so-called Gaudiya Vaishnava from the West, and they were having illicit sex at Radhakunda every night. And meanwhile, she was meditating on her rasa. And then she went and got initiated by one popular Gaudiya sannyasi who travels all over. I don't want to mention his name, but does a lot of traveling. She got initiated by him. So this sort of, prematurely, understanding who you are is a very bad thing. We should simply understand dasa, 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 nidasa. That is the qualification to actually regain our original identity. We simply become the servant, the servant, the servant, and the servant, and the servant of the servant, and the servant of the servant. The more we become that servant of the servant, and the servant, that's how we actually qualify ourselves to regain our original position in the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. So there's many, many access points. Just like the internet, you can access it through a cable, through a dial-up, through a wireless. The whole point is you got to get online, do your work. When you're a traveling preacher and you got all those emails, wherever I go, that's the first thing I want to know, where is the internet connection? How will I get online here in this city? My first thought. So somehow or other, there's many different ways we can access Krishna. There's the pastimes of Krishna, there's the Dhamma of Krishna, there's the name of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, there's the Pashadam, there's the deities, there's the devotees. There's many, 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 many wonderful ways we can connect with Krishna. So the more we can have ways to connect with Krishna, the more our position becomes solid. If we can learn to connect through many, many different ways with Krishna, you see, this would be our strength. So studying here, 10th canto, this is an opportunity for us to focus on this lila smaran as one of the ways of accessing Krishna. What's really exciting and enlivening is to go into these things and not just skim the surface, but minutely analyze them. It's like here, intending to engage in pastime. We could just read on, but you could actually analyze this in terms of Krishna conscious philosophy. What is the significance of God intending to engage in pastime? In this way, you can just, instead of just skimming on the top, go deeper and deeper and deeper into understanding what is the significance of God intending to have pastime. Well, the first thing is, God is intending. My body say, no, he can't do that. He's not allowed to do that. I can do it, but God cannot. So Krishna not only engages in pastimes, but he thinks, I would like to engage in pastimes. The old Vedic psychology. Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Krishna also does that. He thinks about it. Well, I think I'd like to have a pastime. So he thinks like that. He has and then from thinking, then comes intending, which is the next level, willing. And he wills. I will have this. Now, actually, the next one is feeling. I feel like having that pastime. And the third stage is you will to have it. I will have it. And then the fourth one, he does it. So you can see that in terms of Vedic psychology, that here, intending to engage in pastime, this has reached the third stage. Thinking, feeling, willing. This is the willing stage.
of you know, go on that continuum from thinking to acting. And then we come to the next thing, accompanied by Lord Balaram. You might say, well, how can you really say he's being accompanied by Balaram when Lord Balaram is actually Krishna? It's just Krishna with Krishna. And that opens up a whole, you know, deep philosophical analysis as well. If we look at it from that angle, everything is, you know, actually Prabhupada said, everything is Krishna. Because Krishna has simply expanded out his energy from himself. So that, actually there's nothing but Krishna that exists. But there's two kinds of Krishna. There's the emanator Krishna and the emanated Krishna. And Krishna endows that emanated energy from himself with independence. Why? Because it makes things interesting. Balaram has independence, and also the jivas have independence. That independence makes things very interesting. Some people now, I've seen it advertised, you can get a robot dog. I don't know why anybody would want a robot dog. But you can, instead of getting a dog that passes stool, you can get a robot dog. And I think some people buy this robot dog and think it's really cool, but actually it's not very interesting to have a robot dog. Because he has no independence, he's simply programmed machine, that's all. But a dog who has independence, he's much more interesting to deal with, because, you know, you can try to, you can give your love to the dog, you know, give him a pat on the head and then he'll lick your face, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff. Some people do, they like them. You can pat their dog, come home, he licks their face. Well, the people like them. Yes, my dog loves me. So anyway, the point is that God is much more inclined to have the to rasa, actual rasa. There's no rasa with the robot. But actually, if there's independence given, then it becomes a very interesting thing. So Balaram can act independently, the jivas can act independently, Radharani can act, all his expansions, Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, they have this quality of independence. Because they're all emanations from that supreme independent, therefore they have the quality of independence as well. So this makes things very exciting and interesting for Krishna. To have his relationship with Lord Balaram, and, as the next point is, surrounded by the cowherd boys and the cows. So it becomes a very interesting scene now. You got Balaram there, the cowherd boys, the cows. And now there's one more ingredient, actually the next ingredient in this wonderful recipe is the forest of Vrindavan. Oh, how nice. Vrindavan forest with Govardhan, Jamuna, Vrindavan forest. And there's, and then that includes, you know, all, you know, Vrindadevi and so many, you know, parrots and the messenger parrots, and, you know, there's Abhimanyu and all the different rasas going on. It's just, it's an incredible scene, actually. They couldn't, no Hollywood producer could ever dream up such an incredible plot. This is the most amazing thing. There's nothing more amazing than the pastimes of Krishna. Especially the Vrindavan pastimes, which are the ultimate leelas of Krishna. There's nothing like this. Absolutely nothing like this. It's inconceivably sublime. A chincha. Simply inconceivable. And then, to top it all off, he plays his flute. Just imagine what a wonderful conception, understanding of God that Srila Prabhupada has so kindly blessed us with. If you go to the street of, I don't know about Australia, but I'm just coming here the second time. But in America, you can go to any downtown street in a major city and take a survey. My dear sir, we're taking a survey today. Would you mind answering a few questions? The first question is, do you believe in God? You see, many people would say, yes, oh yes, I believe in God. And then we ask them the second question. Have I told you that God is a little blue cowherd boy? He wears a peacock feather in his hair, a yellow dhoti around his waist, and he hangs out in the bushes on the bank of the Jamuna in the full moon night of the Sharad season playing on his flute. What would you say? Say, I'm calling the police. There's a madman on the street. Escaped from a mental hospital. So how did Prabhupada convince us? How did Prabhupada convince us? Actually, Prabhupada knew that we weren't fully convinced. You know that? In Los Angeles, what he told us? He said, and you were thinking that Krishna lived on Govardhan Hill, maybe. Prabhupada knew that Mr. Skeptic was still sitting there in our hearts. But still, we put our faith that yes, it may be inconceivable for us, but because Prabhupada says it's true, and Prabhupada is the most wonderful enlightened teacher in the history. Therefore, because Prabhupada is telling us, we will take it, and because the whole philosophy it's the best explanation we've ever seen of reality. It's an airtight case. No one else that I've ever experienced, no other doctrine, no other teaching, no other philosophy has ever been able to explain everything that's happening and everything that could happen in a perfect way. It covers absolutely everything and tells you how to become liberated and taste the highest nectar of every minute, ever increasingly sweet nectar. You see? I don't know what you're saying. You come in. I don't know. Ask someone else. I'm just a guest here. I'm not a manager. So, it's amazing how time flies when you start talking about Krishna. I didn't realize it. It ends at 8:30, I saw on the schedule. So, I'll have to wrap it up here and open it up for some questions in a minute. So then, as we were mentioning, this wonderful scene has now become even more enhanced as everyone decorates themselves with newly grown leaves, peacock feathers, garlands, clusters of flower buds, and colored minerals. It's an interesting combination. You don't usually think of wrestlers singing and dancing, you see. Nor do you think of people who are singing and dancing would also wrestle. But here we see in this lila, cowherd boy lila, they're singing, dancing, and wrestling. And then, Krishna is dancing. Now this is a very interesting thing. Why is it that the cowherd boy is sitting here wanting to encourage Krishna? Some of the cowherd boy has openly praised his dancing. Does Krishna need to be encouraged by his cowherd boys in order to dance? Does he really need that? No, he doesn't need anything. He's Atmanam. But this is all rasa. It's relationship. Things become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. That Krishna becomes encouraged by the cowherd boys and gets more into it. So these things are very, very sweet and wonderful. We can relish these divine pastimes of the Lord and in this way purify our hearts, develop the desire to actually be a part of the pastimes of Krishna eventually by going back to home, back to Godhead, by strictly adhering to the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness so mercifully and expertly and perfectly given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya. So if there's any questions, I'll try to answer them. Yes.
How to increase love to Lotus Feet or Lord Krishna?
How what?
How to increase love?
How do you increase your love? Well, love of the pure love of God and everything related to God, including His lotus feet, His lotus face, His lotus name, His lotus pastimes, that is already there in the heart. The pure love for God already exists. Right now it is simply covered by millions upon millions of layers of lust, anger, and greed that have accumulated over thousands and millions of lifetimes in this material world. So therefore the process is to cleanse the heart of the dirt through this process of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we will chant the Hare Krishna mantra under the guidance of the wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada, in the association of the Vaishnavas, in this way, as Narottama is pointing out, he gives a very nice clue. He says, Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade mojayamam. In this way, you will develop your love to the lotus feet of the Lord. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship Sri Vrindavan Dham. Worship the lotus feet of Guru and the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. You see. The more you can appreciate the lotus feet of Guru and the Vaishnavas, your appreciation for Krishna's lotus feet will increase proportionately to how much you worship the feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Questions, Mark? Yes.
You mentioned about how those infinitesimal jivas, like yourself and others,
yes,
we're in material existence, you know, so we have a sort of lack of wisdom and rebelliousness. Oh, sorry.
Try again. I'm a little. My hearing is.
Oh, it's okay. The small.
The infinitesimal jivas.
Small jivas. We're in material existence.
We're in material existence.
We had free choice.
And yes.
We
misused our free choice.
I understand that there are different grades of living beings, and they have free choice as well. But my understanding is that some of them never fall down. And I just wanted to ask you about that. They have free choice, but yet they never fall down. And that was the question.
Every living entity, every jiva, can fall down. The potential is there for any jiva to fall down. Now, it's very rare that one would do that. I mean, who would want to leave Krishna's pastime? It's very rare that someone would want to do that. But the potential for falling down has to be there for love to actually manifest. If the potential for fall down or deviation isn't there, then there's no ability to actually love. Love means freedom. I love you or I leave you. So the potential for love the potential for fall down has to be there. The potential to misuse the free will has to be there for love to actually happen. If the potential is there, and there's some degree of probability, and then, you know, if you apply that against an infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world, then you have a significant number of living entities who end up here having misused that independence. Questions, Mark?
Just on the point of how the Prabhupada convinces, it seems we convince people philosophically, and in fact we avoid describing the intimate pastimes of Krishna to the uninitiated.
That's right. Because that just commit offense. That's right. Yeah, we don't. That's not how we introduce Krishna. That's a fact.
as Lord Chaitanya, actually, his program was three different levels. For the general public, Nama Sankirtan. For those who are philosophers, philosophy, and only, it was actually four really, really insiders that he would talk about Krishna pastimes, Leela. Siki Mahiti's sister, and who was the other two? I forget. Ramananda Roy? I forget. But very, very, Sarup Damodar. Very, very inside circle that he would actually talk about Leela. Of course, Prabhupada was able to break open the storehouse of love of God. He gave a Krishna book for mass distribution. But it was presented in such a way that people could understand and, you know, actually enter into the appreciation of Krishna. So we did that. That was, in fact, big book distribution started with the Krishna book. That was where big book distribution began. Wide-scale distribution of the Krishna book. So that is the great expertise and great mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna's pastimes can be made accessible to the general population through his books. But sometimes, I know someone wrote me recently that said, why I go to your classes at the Hare Krishna programs, and all you, and you don't talk about Leela. I want to hear Leela. You see? And I was thinking, well, Leela's nice, but how much Leela, when Papa preached, how much Leela did he give? It's like maybe 1% the most. And the rest of it is just teachings. You're not your body. You know, Krishna is the Lord. So that's actually the style that we need to bring us to the point where we can actually appreciate the best things. We have to be taught. But just like here, I'm sure you didn't start with the 10th canto. You see, you over many years, you started with the first canto, and now you come to the 10th. That is stated that in meditating on taking darshan of deities, you begin with their feet, and gradually. The first and second canto of Bhagavatam are the two lotus feet of the Lord. And gradually, the smiling face, that is 10th canto. So yes, if we give them Krishna book, then Prabhupada can very expertly give them Leela. But as the general preaching style that Prabhupada himself used, we know that we have to give teachings. That's how the philosophy, Bhagavad Gita philosophy, that's how we have to train people. So that finally they can really, really appreciate the Leela. They can go to Vrindavan and not just see it as some dirty Indian village, but actually relish, oh, this is the place where Krishna had his pastimes. Every particle of dust here is more valuable than all the opulence of the Kavera, the treasure of the demigods. You see. Just by inhaling the air here, you become purified of sin. And one can actually, with proper training, under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, of Guru, of Vaishnavas, then one can actually deeply, deeply appreciate, gradually, more and more deeply appreciate these pastimes and relish the sweet nectar, just the unlimited nectar oozing out of each and every one of Krishna's pastimes. Questions more? Yes.
Prasadam had a lot of influence. Prasadam,
Prasadam has.
Yes. Prabhupada cooked himself and then showed how to prepare prasadam,
yes,
and distribute to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
That also had a very important, profound effect on teaching.
Oh, yes. Prasadam is so important. Prabhupada was asked one time, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give someone a simply wonderful on the street? Srila Prabhupada said, he will eat that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become simply wonderful. Prabhupada said, this process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful, Krishna is simply wonderful, and you are all simply wonderful. And one devotee said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. Prabhupada made it accessible to us just through a simply wonderful. I know when there's a real nice devotee, he's a book distributor now, it's Tapa Divyam Das Brahmachari in Helsinki. So wonderful, enlivened preacher, book distributor. And he had read the books. He thought the philosophy was interesting, but he wasn't joining. But then he met one of the other Helsinki brahmacharis on the street of Helsinki, and he gave him a sweet ball, and he ate that sweet ball. That was it.
I was listening to a class yesterday, and Prabhupada mentioned Lord Chaitanya's program was also kirtan. And he said in Puri, he would have 4 hours of chanting in the evenings, every day.
Ah.
So it's interesting, you know, even the philosophy may come later. Chanting and prasad and the very simple things.
Yes, that's right.
Brings a person then to the philosophy, and then after we've got the philosophical development, then we come to the lila.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, as you mentioned, that the skeptic still exists in the devotees.
Yeah.
Or may, not necessarily, but may still exist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a wonderful program. You know, you relish the holy names, relish the prasadam, relish the association of devotees. And that way the teachings become more and more, begin to make more and more sense, and as they make more and more sense, then you can really, really appreciate the pastimes. And just, you know, the pastimes are like the icing on the cake. You know. But the substance is the philosophy, the teachings. We have to have that substance. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
I was just wondering if you could explain exactly why we have to break a fast in a particular time window.
Why we have to what?
Break a fast
at a particular time?
To gain the benefits.
I'm not expert on these technical matters. There are different rules and regulations given. In Vaishnava sadhana. And these rules and regulations are accepted because they are favorable for developing our Krishna consciousness. Why they are all favorable, I don't know. Just if you ask me, why do you stick your finger out of the bead bag? All I know is Prabhupada did it. Basically. That's all I really can say. I mean, someone may say, well, it's the accusing finger and this and that, but, you know. I didn't hear Prabhupada say those things. But I know that Prabhupada stuck his finger out of the bead bag. So basically, you know, if something is helping your Krishna consciousness, you do it. So why exactly, someone else may, can probably answer that. I cannot. But I do know that by following the basic guidelines that Prabhupada has given us, that a very wonderful, wonderful thing happens. And that is that the dormant Krishna bhakti within the heart, which is sleeping right now, that becomes revived. Right now, instead of tasting eternity, knowledge, and bliss, we're tasting temporality, ignorance, and misery. So, I don't know why this is there, but I follow that. You know, you're supposed to break the fast. It's not too early, not too late. I always do. Because it works. Truth works. If you follow, we find that by following these items of sadhana bhakti that we become happy and enlivened and all our anxieties go away. So we do it. Someone else can give the technical, you know, astrological or whatever reason. I'll let them do it. But I'm going to focus on awakening the bliss. That's what I want. I want to taste the nectar. Questions, Mark?
Ask Banu Swami.
Banu Swami. Banu Swami, yes, he is the one. For the technicals. And when you get the answer, you tell me, I would like to know. Oh. That'd be nice to know. Okay, anything else? If not, it's time for that prasadam nectar.
Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.